Blog Talk Radio.
Because God's trying to tell you I'm going to do it this week. Run, mama, run. That's it. Prophesy. I got to preach. I ain't got a whole lot of time, but will you push your neighbor and tell him God said he's going to do it this week? God said he's going to do it this week. Okay, y'all. Come on, get your Bible. Let's turn our attention to the screen. I don't have a whole lot of time. If you was going to shout, you should have shouted by now. Come on. Come on, Tyra Hill. I got to get out of here. I got 18 minutes. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. I just got a conviction in my spirit that the longer it takes me to praise, the longer it takes God to do what I asked him to do. But if I praise God quick, I believe God going to respond. See, some of y'all still waiting on your flesh. You still waiting on your mind to catch up with your spirit. You got to make your... You got to call your mind subject to your spirit. I don't care what it looks like. The man of God said it's going to happen this week. If God didn't want you to hear it, he'd have let you overslept. You in the room because God wanted you to hear me say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this week. Come on. I'm going to do it this week. Talking, that's okay. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing then. Just stand up in here and look cute. Don't say nothing. You're going to have to wait another week, but I'm decreeing and declaring what I've been waiting on God to do, it's going to happen. Push your neighbor, tell him you better say something or get off my road. You better say something. God's going to do it. Come on. Hebrews. Y'all so rebellious. Sit down, please. Sit down. Come on, tell your friend to sit down. You didn't wait it this long. You can wait another week. You can wait to June. You didn't wait it this long. Just you ain't in no rush. You ain't. I got some demons I need God to kill this week. I got some devils I need God to deal with. Somebody said before I leave this building, I got some... Y'all all in my time, but I need somebody to scream like by the time you get in your car. Y'all excuse me, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody praise him. I feel that in my spirit. By the time you get in your car, whatever you want to do, Jesus. However you want to fix it, Lord. Yeah. Ah, Lord. Ah, Lord. Come on, let's go. I feel churchy and I got to preach some of y'all. Some of y'all don't need a break. You just came to get a word. I'm sorry, but it's about 326 of y'all that say, I need a breakthrough. Come on, get your Bible. You need a... Get your Bible.
fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid. Fill me with you right now. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face. Fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you.
Bring with it a sound that points us to you right now. Erase substitutes right now. Fix what I see. And God, please fix me. Let us see you right now. My world needs you.
Why I'm not ashamed to say,
brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life, back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me?
Today, he will come through. appreciate it.
A mystery.
It's amazing how
your patience with me, God will never leave.
You don't give up on me.
Don't ever leave.
Help me.
Help me to be like you.
Like you.
No matter what I go through.
Hey.
Everything's working for my good for a way.
Let me tell you what he does.
He saved the day.
And he will.
He will come through.
Hallelujah. Not real superhero.
No greater love.
A love like this
makes my heart beat.
And I promise you,
all I want to do is make you proud of me.
That's why
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Yes.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Yes.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
I thirst all over.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
You.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
That's right.
I don't wanna love nobody.
And the church saying, come on! Jesus loving you
will be the death of me.
It sounds crazy, don't it? Hey.
That's how it's
supposed to be. Let me tell you what it means.
More less of me.
That's why.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. But you.
Father,
I don't wanna love nobody, love nobody but you.
I really mean it this time.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Jesus.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Let me tell you what it does.
He saves the day.
Come on.
He will come through.
He will let you down, but
he won't allow that's not what superheroes do.
See, I will never find
no greater love.
A love like this
makes my heart beat.
Welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am your host, none other than Apostle Daniel Douglas. We're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God is what we do on a day-to-day basis. Listen, we're just excited about what's going to happen today on our Man Up Monday broadcast. Listen, call a friend, tell a neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on there. That number is 563-999-3628. Press 1. And when you press 1, you'll be able to be connected with us and talk with us and be a part of today's broadcast. We have our guest that will be joining us shortly, none other than our brother and our friend here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection, Reverend Michael Knox will be with us on this morning. I'm telling you, if you guys have not had an opportunity to hear this great man of God speak, I promise you, you're in for a treat. You're in for a treat. There is going to be a word from the Lord on this morning. But you guys know how we do it here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Before we go any further, let us go into effectual, fervent prayer. We'll have our scripture. And once we have our scripture, guys, we're going to introduce all those countries that are listening in. Let us go into fervent prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your magnificent works, God. We thank you for the workings of your hand. Father, we thank you that you are not only able, but Father God, you are well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Father, we thank you for you are God and you are God all by yourself. And beside you, Father God, there is no other. We trust in you. We believe in you. We know that you're able to do just what you said you were going to do. You're going to come in, God, and you're going to fix our very situation. You will be able to give us strength to stand and to withstand in the storm and in the rain. And in the midst of all that is going on, God, your hand of mercy and grace will not only be on us, but God, your hand of mercy and grace will be in us. And we thank you, Father God, for your continued love, your continued peace, your continued joy. God, we thank you for it being retroed in our life, God. God, in the times that we did not know our right hand from our left hand, God, we want to thank you for giving us joy in that place. God, we want to thank you for giving us joy in the times, God, that we didn't understand, God, what was going on around us. But God, you are a keeper and a protector. You are a mighty hand, God, covers us and watch over us. God, we thank you for our early rise this morning, God. God, we rose Father God, with our minds intact. We rose this morning with the activity of our limbs. God, we got pains and aches, God. God, but we thank you for the pains and aches because we know that that's somebody, Lord. God, that didn't even make it to this day. So we thank you for making it to another day. And we are so grateful for today, God. God, we thank you for everything that entails in it, God. God, we're not gonna be disobedient. We're not gonna be prideful. We're not gonna be ungrateful, God. We want to just say thank you just for being God and being God all by yourself. And beside the enemy's attacks, oh God, beside God, all of the things that the enemy could do, Father, we'll still be grateful. Besides the things that can be said or done, Father, we just want to be grateful. I'm grateful today, God. I am grateful. God, we are grateful today that you are God and you are God all by yourself. And we thank you in the mighty and matchless and infallible name of Jesus the Christ we pray. In the body of Christ said, amen, amen, and amen. And as always, guys, we want to share our morning scripture with you guys this morning. And our morning scripture will be verse 10 of Philippians 3 and 10. Verse 10 of Philippians 3 and 10 that simply says that I know him, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection. Watch this here. In the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death. Being made comfortable unto his death. Thank you, Father God, for the readers, the hearers, the doers, and the receivers of your word. And as always, guys, we want to make sure that we acknowledge all those great countries that are listening in. And we want to tell all of you guys, thank you so very much. Y'all know I do my soapbox moment every time we speak about our different countries that are listening in. There are countries that are listening in, guys. Listen to me real close. Listen to me real, real close. Come on in a little bit closer to your radios. Come a little bit closer to your cell phones, to your iPads, wherever you guys are listening to me from. Watch this here. There are those that are listening to us across the waters in other countries. These people, when they listen to us, if they're caught listening to us on this radio broadcast, it could very well be meaning the death of them. It could very well mean that their children could be taken from them and sold into slavery. Come here, let me help you. It could very well mean that the people that are connected to them could very well be, watch this here, listen to me real close, could be taken and put into the street and made an example out of them. Some of these people are beheaded. Some of these people are maimed in front of people to make an example out of. But we here are free to worship in service. Come on, I'm gonna help you real good. We're free to worship in service. We're free to worship. Listen, we're free to worship in service. And we won't even give God the praise and the glory that he deserves in service. This brings to life the scripture that simply says, are you willing to die for Christ that you might live? Are you willing? Oh my God, I ain't trying to preach. You got to preach that's coming. Are you willing to die for your relationship, my God, today? Are you willing to die for your relationship with God that you might live again with him? Let that sit on you for a minute. Our commitment, God, help me right up in this section right here. Our commitment, people of God. Our commitment to the word of God. Our commitment to the will of God. Our commitment to the ways of God has to be so to the point, so pleasing to the point. Hear me and hear me well. So pleasing to the point that when you look at where you are right now, that we walk after the oracles of God, We just read it. Are you willing to be in the fellowship of his suffering? Are you willing to go all the way with him? I ain't trying to preach. I'm just trying to get you there this morning. Are you willing to worship him in spirit and in truth? Are you willing to lay all of that down? See, we come with an agenda. My God, this is the issue that I have with church. We come with an agenda. I'm a pastor. Y'all get it. Y'all don't get it twisted. I'm a pastor. I pastor people. And this is what I tell my folks. Are you willing to die that he might live? Or are you willing to live and let him die in you? Come on. Let's get real with it. Let's get real and let's get like Tom Lowe say, that funky Cole Medina. Let's get funky Cole Medina with it. Let's get down and dirty. Let's get down to the brass tacks. These people will give their life because they want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. And we sit on the United States. We sit on our blessed assurance. We sit on our blessed assurance. Come here, let me help you. We sit on our blessed assurance and won't even show up in church. But these people will get their life. We are praying for you, all of our great countries, all of our missionaries, all of our apostles and pastors that are overseas that are doing the work. You have placed your hand to the plow, and you will refuse to take your hand off the plow. Watch this here. We bless you for that. We bless you for that. We call down kingdom blessings to you. We call down kingdom protection to you. We call down kingdom power for you. Mm-hmm. We call down kingdom love for you. Because it's not an easy place. It's not an easy place. It's not an easy place. You know, it's not an easy place. It's not an easy place. I'm telling you now, it's not an easy place. But can I help you? Let me bless you to your blessed place, put you to your purpose, drive you to your destiny real quick. We got a guest that's coming on. We got a guest. But I want to let you know that our kingdom, God, help me right up in here. Our kingdom place. Father, thank you for giving them kingdom places in their ministries where they are. We thank you for it, Father God. Let's go get on and introduce these countries. That's my soapbox moment for this morning. It's my soapbox this morning. Bless y'all this morning. Thank you all. Thank all of you all who are listening in with us on this morning. Remember that number is 563-999-3628. Call a friend, tell a neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air. Call somebody in that you know needs to hear something this morning. They need a shift in their life this morning. Call them this morning. They in their low place. Tell them that there's going to be a man of God that's going to be on this morning that I promise you going to bless you. It's going to make a difference. Oh, my God. It's going to make a difference. Reverend Knox is going to come over here and mess y'all up. I'm telling y'all now. Reverend Knox is going to come over here and he's going to mess y'all up this morning. Listen, those great countries are. Thank y'all for being in all of our great countries. Those great countries this morning. We have the United States. We have Canada. We have Brazil. We have Ghana. We have Guyana. We have Nigeria, we have Kenya, we have Zimbabwe, we have South Africa, we have Jamaica, we have Saudi Arabia, we have China, we have Hong Kong, we have Germany, we have Bulgaria, we have Russia, we have Mexico, we got the United Kingdom, we got Paris, France, we got Japan, we got South Korea, we got Ireland, we got India, we got Portugal, and we got New Zealand. We want to tell you guys, thank you so very much for your continued support and your continued kingdom connection with us. We want to say thank you so very much for you continuing to be with us and connecting with us on this morning. Listen, guys, I'm just excited about what God has to say to us this morning. I'm just excited about what God has to share with us on this morning. Listen, again, call a friend, tell a neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air, and we're here. Listen, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. When you come back, we'll have Reverend Knox on with us, and he'll be the voice that you hear. I'm going to go ahead on and relinquish my stand. I'm going to release the man of God, and we're going to go ahead and bless God. Amen? Amen.
Hallelujah.
bless you. God bless you. We are back. We are back. We are back. We are back with our guest, none other than our friend, our brother, none other than Pastor of, I'm sorry, Reverend Michael Knox. Well, Doc, you know that might be the crossover. That might be the crossover that God got for you. But listen, I present to some and introduce to others, none other than our friend, our brother here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection, none other than Reverend Michael Knox. Man of God, listen, you have the floor. Go ahead and bless the people.
Well, certainly this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad therein. We are grateful to God for the privilege to share together this morning, even in a virtual and radio space. And to our friend Apostle Douglas and Pastor Kashima, we're so grateful for this privilege to share together this morning. I want to call our attention to a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to take too much of our time. It is the gospel of our Lord according to the writer Matthew. It starts at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. I'm reading from the English Standard Version for the sake of preference and preference alone, and it reads, "And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, 'Have mercy on us, Son of David.' When he entered the house," verse 28, "the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' They said, 'Yes, Lord.' Verse 29, he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, be it done to you.'" For just a few moments of our time together, I want to share from the thought, when faith becomes sight, when faith becomes sight. I am a history nerd, and one of the most critical eras in our culture with history to study is the 1800s. While globally the 1800s redefined the geopolitical landscape for America, the 1800s was just a time. It's the time when the U.S. underwent the largest transformation before what we know as the coronavirus. It's on the heels of the American Revolution. The Louisiana Purchase becomes a deal in 1804. Texas becomes a state in 1845. The gold rush starts in 1848, and folks have been looking for their proverbial gold everywhere ever since. Uncle Tom's Cabin is published in 1852. The Steinway Piano Company opens their doors in 1853. 28 states are added to the Union, and the Civil War takes out all in the midst of the 1800s. I've come to tell you, the 1800s was just a time. And even amongst the 1800s changing landscape, there's a wealthy lawyer who owns much of the coast of Chicago that sits on Lake Michigan, who was going through his own personal hell. This lawyer by the name of Horatio Spafford and his wife Anna lost their only son, Horatio Jr., to scarlet fever. And just 1 year later, Spafford would lose all of his investments along Lake Michigan in the Great Chicago Fire. All of this had taken a toll on Spafford and his family, so the decision was made to vacation in England and join that famed evangelist D.L. Moody on his latest crusade. The day comes for the Spafford family to board their ship known as the Ville du Havre, but Horatio was caught up in a business deal, told his wife and daughters to go ahead, and he joined them shortly. 4 days into the journey, the ship collides with an iron-hulled ship, sinking in just 12 minutes. Days later, Horatio would receive a telegram from his wife that reads, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Horatio resolves to join his grieving bride, and while traveling and they pass the wreckage, Horatio pens one of the greatest hymns of the church. He simply says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." My favorite line of that entire hymn is the fourth stanza where he says, "Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend, even so, it is well with my soul." And that, my brothers and sisters, is what these two blind men teach us here in Matthew chapter 9 as they request of Jesus' mercy on them. In Matthew 1 and 2, there's the genealogy of Jesus in this birth narrative that gives us the dawn of the king. In Matthew chapter 3, John prepares the way for Jesus' earthly ministry. In chapter 4, there's Jesus facing temptation and showing us that if you and I will overcome temptation in our lives, we need word in us. After this temptation, Jesus begins his ministry calling his first disciples. Between Matthew 5 and 7, we have what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, the ultimate guide to Christian discipleship. In chapter 8, we're at the starting point of Jesus showing us that he has power over conditions, because whatever ails you, Jesus has the ability to heal. The old writers would put it this way: whatever our necessity and burdens are, we need no more for supply and support than a share in the mercy of our Lord. And when we arrive to Matthew chapter 9, we come to the healing chapter. The record opens by showing Jesus healing this paralytic, giving him the ability to walk. That's the message in chapter 9, verse 2, where Jesus says, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." In chapter 9, verse 7, says the paralytic rose and went home. Jesus continues this healing from sin with Matthew's call to discipleship. Jesus teaches the means of evangelism when saying, "I came not to call the righteous, but to call sinners." Jesus answers the question of fasting, raising Jairus' daughter, healing the woman with the 12-year cycle. And then we come to verse 27, and there is the giving of sight to the blind. There may be argument over this entire lesson, but I would like to suggest that Matthew 9 rests all about faith. And the question to ponder is simple: do you believe in this miracle-working Savior who's come to the world? For faith is what makes miraculous changing in our lives. We have to believe in the miracle before we see it. Or as Bishop J.N. Williams said yesterday, you have to say it before you see it, or you'll never see it. The text teaches us two principles to grasp for faith to become sight. First, we must understand that we have to identify the Savior. The text says, "And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, 'Have mercy on us, son of David.'" I like the antiquated language of the King James. It simply reads, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus has just began this departure from Jairus' house after raising his daughter from the dead. He's already stopped once for such a certain woman. He's done his miracle working for the day, and I would deduce that he's following his custom of withdrawing from the crowd to pray and to rest when these blind men show up. The text says that they followed Jesus. They chased after him, displaying a relentless faith. They were not going to let Jesus pass them by and not get their blessing. And that's why I can't be jealous of other folks. I know when they get blessed, because if he's on the road blessing them, I'm just staying there until mine comes. That's why many of us have delayed blessings, because we're not truly following Jesus. We're not truly seeing what he has for us. The old hymn writer said, "I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back." How bad do you want to be blessed? You have to want it bad enough to follow him even when you can't trace him. The text says that the blind men identify the Savior first in their posture. They follow him. Then they identify him in position. They call him Son of David. The opening of Matthew chapter 1, we have this reference to the Son of David, and we see the context of the title. In chapter 1, verse 1, it's to show whose lineage he's in. But everywhere after that, when we see Son of David, it points to where our faith lies. Jesus is not literally David's son, but he's a descendant of the king. He's the rightful heir to the royal throne. And before we shout too hard about these blind men and their faith, there's a warning that we must see. They use this title, Son of David, because they expected to see Jesus. They expected it, and so they used it as if it were just a honorific. They called him Son of David. They wanted to see Jesus. "I'm going somewhere." When is the last time you expected to see Jesus? We hear wars and rumors of wars all around us. We hear the cost of living is on the rise. We see our economy is on the decline. We've seen threats of annihilation, but when is the last time that we've expected to see Jesus? They were looking for the Savior. And that's evident when they cry, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." They cry, "Have mercy on us," first, and then they call him Son of David. This isn't the same as blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10, who says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The thought process here in Matthew 9 is that if he's truly the Messiah that they've been expected, then he will hear their plea and have mercy on them. Bartimaeus believed, therefore he asked these blind brothers, called Jesus son of David. But the question is, if they called him this just to get something out of him, or do they really believe? Do you call on Jesus because you want him to be your genie in the sky, or do you believe that he's heaven, the creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe that he's the savior of the world? One of the things that I pray all the time, and it's not just lip service, it's because I truly believe it. I always say, Lord, I know that you're able, and I know that you will. It's a reminder that I trust in the Lord's ability because I've had experience with him. I've seen him work, and I believe he'll do it again. They identify him in posture. They identify him in position. Then they identify him in perseverance. Verse 28 says, when Jesus entered the house, the blind men came to him. Jesus does not work this miracle publicly. He ignores them while out in the open, so they follow him. Matthew 9, I told you, is all about faith, but this isn't a passive faith. It doesn't just happen to you. It's an active faith. It is faith at work. Matthew's faith called him to be a disciple of the Lord. The disciples' collective faith moved them to want to understand fasting. Jairus' faith called him to kneel at Jesus' feet and beg of the Lord to heal his daughter. Sister, certain woman's faith moved her to press toward the Lord because she needed a healing. Here's the question. What does your faith call you? Jesus ignores these brothers until they follow him into the house. We ought not be just satisfied with being on the perimeter, but we need to go inside with Jesus. It's easy to declare faith on the outside when the people can see and hear the commotion, but it's another to have faith to go inside. I'm not satisfied with an outside faith. I don't need to be around a crowd to show them I have faith. I have the same faith in public that I do when I'm in bed with tears in my eyes. I don't need a suit and tie to have faith. I don't need my clergy collar to have faith, but I have the same faith in my hoodie and my blue jeans that I do when I'm all dressed up. All I want you to know is that my faith is not just an outside thing, it's an inside thing. Faith won't allow me to be content being on the perimeter, but I got to get inside the house with Jesus. It hurt, but I had to get inside. I couldn't see it, but I had to get inside. I may have cried, but I had to get inside. Whatever the issue is, you have to get inside with the Lord, for there's a blessing in the house. I'm cutting across the field. The text shows us that if our faith is to become sight, we have to identify the Savior and quantify our faith. I'm still in the text. I didn't close my Bible on you. The text says, the blind men cried, have mercy on us. Then they followed Jesus inside. I have no doubt that these blind men believed in Jesus, because I'm not going through that much to get to anybody unless I believe they have what I need. The text says, Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Jesus waited till they were in private to ask the question of their faith. He says, do you believe? They're blind. They can't see what he done, but they'd heard what he done. Permit me just a little bit of freedom here. You're blind, but do you believe? You're crying at night, but do you believe? You've got questions of why this, why that, but do you believe? You've got a limp, but do you still believe? Jesus posed the men, do you believe I'm able to do this? Before Jesus could work, he needed a confession of faith. It's easy to say, I believe when life is going your way, but do you believe when all is going to hell? It's easy to shout when you have sight, but do you believe when you can't see? The question serves to highlight the faith that allows them to identify their Savior in their crying and their following. He says, do you believe? Jesus had already ignored them until they were in the house, but he still doesn't work this miracle. Instead, he questioned them. These brothers could not see. They couldn't see the miracle that the Lord had just worked. They had to rely on the testimony of others. They didn't have their own story yet, but Jesus asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? This word able in the original language is the word dunamai, meaning power. Jesus says, do you believe I have the power to do this? He does not ask if they believe he will, just if they believe he has power. And all I want to church is that he's still able. If you go home and hear nothing else, I want you to know that God is able. Paul said he's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Jude said he's able to keep you from falling, and present your faultless before his presence with great joy. Jesus raises these blind men's expectation and prepares them to receive. You can't receive all that God has for you until you believe in his ability to do it. The Bible says that Jesus says to them, do you believe I'm able to do this? Jesus is about to again fulfill what the prophet Isaiah said of him, that he will open the eyes that are blind. That he's setting the stage to encourage his beloved disciple John in just a few chapters. And these two brothers are questioned on whether Jesus has the ability. These brothers needed sight, but what is your this? Is your this healing from sickness? Is your this a new job? Is your this a place to live? What is your this? In fact, it doesn't matter what your this is. All that matters is that you believe God has the power to solve your this. I like how the saints of old would say, whatever the problem, I put it all in his hands. I know that he can solve them. I put it all in his hands. Jesus asked if they believe. They replied, yes, Lord. When's the last time you gave God your yes? You can't get your healing as long as you're holding on to your yes. The text says they called Jesus Lord. This is probably no more than a respectful form of address to them, but Lord in the ancient world is just considered an honorific. It's like black folks when we call our older family members auntie and uncle. It's a simple sentence, yes, Lord, but highlights their faith and made them available to receive their blessing. Again, I ask, when is the last time you gave God your yes? These blind men could not see, but they had heard and believed. It sounds like Bible to me. Romans 10 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. These brothers heard what Christ had done, and they believed. You've heard what Christ has done, but do you believe that he can do this? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that ancient prince of preachers, said, let human thoughts perish forever. The thoughts of God and not the thoughts of men will save souls. Be careful who you listen to when your yes, Lord, is at risk. When your yes is at risk, listen to the voice of your pastor. Don't listen to Boo Boo and Bebe, Ray Ray, and the rest of them can't help you when your yes is at risk. When your yes is at risk, get you some Bible in you. The Bible says that therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings means so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. When your yes is at risk, remember, it's the same writer of Hebrews who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can men do to me? The psalmist says, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When your yes is at risk, remember that famed passage of all Christendom. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good for them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. I'm out of here. The blind man said, yes, Lord. Verse 29 says, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it done unto you. The Lord says, according to your faith. It's not proportional. It's not a ratio of equivalence. According to simply means because of. Because they had faith to say yes, it's suggested that this faith is like a bucket by which we draw from the inexhaustible fountain of God's mercy and goodness to which otherwise we can't penetrate. Verse 30, their eyes were opened. Faith gave them sight. All you need is to believe. The writer said, I met God one morning, my soul feeling bad, heart heavy laden. I felt fire down in. He lifted all my burdens. Now I'm feeling glad. Their eyes are open. And Jesus tells them to tell no one, but they had to tell somebody what they had seen. They were told to keep it to themselves, but they could not hold on to what the Lord had done. And that's the problem I got with church folks now. We've been told to go, but we won't. These brothers were told to stay silent, but they went. I'm in my seat. I'm out of here. All I want you to know is that they simply went and extended an invitation to the Lord's discipleship after their faith had became sight. Use your testimony and tell somebody what the Lord has done for you when faith becomes sight.
Amen, amen, and amen. When your faith becomes sight. Come on, sir. Come on, sir. Listen, I told y'all when y'all pulled up this morning. Told y'all when y'all pulled up to y'all computers and y'all laptops and y'all phones. I told y'all when y'all pulled up. Told y'all to get ready. This man of God has let us know what happens. What happens when your faith becomes your fight? You got this man. Listen, you blessed us this morning. You blessed us this morning. We are just excited about what the Lord has spoke to you, through you, to you, for the people on this morning. And I am telling you, this word was a word that we needed to hear, because this pandemic has literally shook the faith of a lot of people. And we needed to know this morning, man. We needed to know that this morning, that it doesn't matter where you may find yourself at today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, the next 5 years from now. You have to understand and know that even in this, God is still in control. It may not seem like it right now, because what we look at, because watch this, what we look at and what God promised us, let me help you real quick, sometimes don't always look the same. It's and let me bless you to your blessed place, put you to your purpose, drive you to your destiny real quick. Watch the tip. It starts out looking like what God said, but somewhere in between the breakthrough and the deliverance part of the session of what we see, it changed a little bit, and it don't look the same. But watch this here. You still have to stand in that place of faith. The Bible say now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. What happens? What happens when your faith, watch this here, when your faith get interrupted along the journey? Come on. Come on, man. That was a blessing to us, man. That was a blessing to us. Listen, Reverend Knox, man, listen, go ahead on. Tell the people how they can get in contact with you. We're going to pray for you first, but I want you to share with the people on how to get in contact with you if they need you to come, and if they want you to come and speak, or if they have an engagement and they need a man of God to come. Man, let us pray for you, and then we'll let you do that portion. Father God, we thank you for this vessel of warfare that you have set among us. God, thank you for the word that was produced out of this great man of God. God, we are so grateful and so honored to have had the opportunity to sit with him and listen to the words that you have allowed to be poured from out of this great man of God. God, we thank you for every weapon that you have placed in his disposal to speak life to these your people. God, we thank you right now in the mighty, enriched, and infallible name of Jesus, God, that you have restored and instructed in him that he needs to have, God, to move forward into the place, Lord God, that you would desire for him to be. Thank you for breaking every shackle and every chain. God, for using every weapon against the enemy on his behalf. God, we thank you right now that there should not be any backlash. There should not be anything that comes against him. There should not be anything that shall come against what he has done. Father God, we pray against every attack of the enemy that the enemy will try to use as a weapon against him. God, we thank you for the producing of his hands, that everything that he does, God, shall prosper. Everywhere that his feet tread, he shall be the conqueror. God, we thank you for the overflow blessing that falls in his life, financially, spiritually, and emotionally. God, we thank you right now, God, for covering, keeping, and protecting him in his home. God, and everything that has anything connected to him to do with him. Father, we thank you right now in the mighty, enriched, and infallible name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior, do we pray. And the body of Christ said, amen, amen, and amen. Man of God, go ahead and let the people know how to get in contact with you, man, and all of that.
Yes, sir. If you all are looking to reach me, the easiest way to get in contact with me is through my website. It is linktree.com/MAK Ministries. That URL is linktr.ee/MAK Ministries. On that site, I've got all of my social media handles, there's an email opportunity. If you are old school and you like to just use the phones, you can reach me at 314-764-5308. That rings across all of my platforms, and I will make sure that I can answer the phone. If I don't answer, I promise I'll call you right back.
what measure could amount to your desire. The one who never leaves one like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure amounts to your is the one who never leaves the one. Like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening in. I want to apologize for earlier. We were on mute and we did not realize that we were on mute, and we were sharing some things spiritually for the man of God. But we apologize for the inconvenience of being on mute for that short period of time. But listen, we thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening in and partnering up with us here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. We thank you guys for joining us for our Man of Money broadcast. Listen, before we go any further, we want to make sure that we share our overcomer scripture and overcomer prayer, which comes from Romans 10 and 9, which simply says this. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and was rose from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. Listen, those of you all that are in that place right now, and you're looking for a transition, and you know that there's a place of transition that is set and orchestrated for your life today. Know that God is not only able, but Father, as the Father is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask. I think only we have to do is trust Him. The Bible said, trust in Him with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path. So today, I want to give you the roadmap to where you need to be. And that's simply that Romans 10 and 9. You say, confess with your mouth. That's the first thing we need to do. Believe in your heart. That's the second thing that to do. Your confession, you must believe that He died and was raised from the dead. And He did it just for you. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus died. And watch this. He was raised from the dead. And watch this part. He said, and now you are saved. You are now in a safe place. When you believe, confess, believe, and now you are saved. You have to go into this thing with the mentality and mindset that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask. I think you got to trust Him even in the midst of whatever it is that you got going on. I know that your situation warrants you to be afraid. I know that your situation warrants you for being weary. I know your situation warrants you to be to the place to where you're trying to figure out which way to go. But I stopped by this morning to tell you that even in the midst of this, God is yet in control. Not only is He in control, He's the one that's working that thing out behind the scenes. So you trust in Him to the point to where that no matter what your situation may look like currently, that He is taking that thing and He is moving it and making it come to better terms for you. Is that a word for you to say? It will come to better terms for you. You're able to stand not only in it, but you're able to stand through it. He will make a way out of no way for you because He is God and He is God all by Himself. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think. Just know He's able to do it. So let us pray for you. Father God, we pray for those that are under the sound of our voice. God, there needs to be a closer relationship, a closer walk with You to become more in tune with You. Father, we pray, God, that you would touch them now. God, give them the understanding that in the midst of this, that you are your God and you are your God all by yourself. Now, those of you all that are wanting to receive them, I'm going to repeat this passage of scripture. And when we repeat this passage of scripture, Lord Jesus, we want them to receive you and you receive them. So, Father, we thank you now, God, for those that want to receive you. They want to receive you into their hearts, receive you into their minds, Father God. The Romans 9 scriptures simply says this, that they confess with their mouth, they have believed with their heart that you died and was raised from the dead, and now they are saved. Father, we thank you for the ones who received this prayer, and they are now saved. They are now safe in your arms. They are safe in your care. God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. God, we thank you right now for a wisdom that surpasses all understanding. Father, we thank you for a hope that lies within. We thank you for grace that covers and keeps and protects them in all they're doing and knowing and seeing. Father, that you're able to do what you said you're going to do, and that is be God and be big in their life. And for that, God, we give you glory. For that, God, we give you honor. For that, Father God, we give you dominion. And we say, have your way on today, in the mighty and rich and infallible name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior, do we pray. And the body of Christ said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Those of you all who received that prayer, those of you all who have received that that word on today, I want to share with you today, this important shift, this important transition on today, that as you receive Christ, as you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is what you've now become a part of the family. And we want to say welcome to the family. We want to say welcome to the family. We want to say welcome to the family. Listen real close. Listen real close to me. Listen, there are some three keys I want to get to you. We're going to go ahead on and go out. We're going to have three keys I want to share with you. The first key, get you a really good Bible. Get you a word. Get that word so that way you can know that this walk will require you to have your word, because there are some things and some situations and circumstances that you have to be prepared to walk through. And God has given you that word to give you that shift, that transition to help you in that. Now, the next thing that I want to share with you, not only do you need to go through your word, but you will also need to get this into a church home. We are the pastors of the Abba House International right here in Houston, Texas. That address is 5709 Eastland Street, Houston, Texas, 77016. I'm sorry, 77028. That's 5709 Eastland Street in Houston, Texas, 77028. That is in the City Gas area of Houston. Please make your way. Make your way on Sundays at 3 p.m. that we are having service there, right there on Eastland and the corner of Eastland and Knox, if I'm not mistaken. Eastland and Knox, or Eastland and Fowley. Either one of those streets, two streets, will connect you to the Abba House International. Right there, y'all come and join us. Now, I want to share this with you. Make sure that that person that you are connecting to in that ministry, or that pastor, the one that you have to cover you, make sure that their lifestyle, watch this here, line up with what they say. I'm gonna say that one more again. Make sure that their lifestyle line up with what they say. I'm gonna say that again. Make sure that their lifestyle line up with what they say. Because watch this here, it's real easy to confuse the two. I'm going to bless you again. It's real easy to confuse the two. Know that that person is living the life that they're supposed to live in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So those are our three keys for you. Now, those of you all who would like to sow into the ministry, you can do so by going to your Cash App, your Zelle, or your PayPal, and you can do so by doing that. Go to your Cash App, your Zelle, or your PayPal and connect with us that way. The Cash App is $WTC2020. Again, that's $WTC2020. And you can also go to your PayPal, which is paypal.me/worldwideGC. Again, that's paypal.me/worldwideGC. You can connect with us there. You can also go to your Zelle, which is 832-816-7997. 7. Again, that's 832-816-7997. You can go to any one of those spots right there and connect with us, and go to those, go to that Zelle and get connected to that Zelle, and pay and share your gift of giving through those two places right there. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for contribution. Thank you so much for your seed of sowing. Thank you so much for your gifting on this morning to be able to share with the Worldwide Gospel on today. And we thank you so much for all that you do here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. As you connect with us, we bless God for you. We bless God for that opportunity to share with you. And know that in the midst of all of this, God is not only able, but he is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. One thing we have to do is learn how to trust in him as he do what he does best, and that is be God and be God all by himself. Amen? Amen. So, listen, we're going to go ahead on, and we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. We really want to let you guys know that you're listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to you, see that I'm your friend. You are mine. Desire. No one else will do. No one else can take your place. Now when I wanna be the warmth of your embrace. Let me find my way. Bring me back to you. Everybody say it tonight, na na. Said I sing you working on, no.
And I want you to work in me.
Said I sing you heal the sick through others.
And
I want you to work in me. Lay it all down again. Mishkataba. To hear you say, I'm your friend. Because I see
you
that I've seen you working others. And the Bible says that we are to be provoked to jealousy in a good thing. But I want you to know that the anointing of God
is not relegated but to one name, and that is Jesus. And I've seen some things. And I've seen some anointed people. I've seen men and women pray to the power of God move. So happy to have my mother here, the international mother. That's it. Yeah. Mother Wine. And I saw my brother David, my eldest brother David, had been living for about 3 days with a ruptured appendix. The poison was all through his body. They weren't expecting him to live, and he'd gone to the hospital. They operated one, and then they got him in, and they saw more. They had to operate again. And when they finished that second operation, they came back and told him that there was another pocket of poison that they need to go in and get. And at the time, my father said, "No, I don't know why I let you operate in the first place." And he called for the elders of the church. And they came in and prayed. Elder Stacks and Elder Weatherspoon. And they said, "Lord, for his grandfather's sake, heal him." And the doctors came back and said, "We don't know where it went, but the poison is gone. David is alive today because I've seen you work. And I want you to work in me." Everybody that wants God to do something through them, just say that one time. Say, "I see and I want you to work." Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. I wish I had a voice tonight. I was hollering the other day. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yield it and still. 2 Chronicles, and Mother Boyd was here. She might say it like this. Y'all ready? Y'all got to go with me. Use me, Lord, in your servant. Draw me nearer every day. I'll be willing, Lord, to run on all the way. If I falter, I got to. Second Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 5.
but now I see you're there for me, 'cause I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, so much better, when I look back over my life, I knew you would never be by my side, say never,
never would have made it,
oh, never,
never would have made it.
Of your prayer for me, I'm still here. I'm stronger, and I'm better. Hey, can you switch in now? Somebody let Bishop Morton out.
cause I feel a switch in this thing. Yeah. Yeah. I hear you stand. Dr. Lawrence, but I'ma have to tell him I'll pay for it later, because Bishop Sapp, when I look back over my life, I had to remember this position right here. It will win all the time.
Bishop Sapp.